Time for another edition of the Home Improvement Show. I'm Joanne Brackus, and sitting in front of me, as always, is Walter Assey, the president himself of Renofco, here to take all of your questions, your concerns, your quandaries, whatever's going on with your home improvement projects, or something may have just broken and you don't understand what's going on. 514-790-0800. We are taking your texts, but it's the best way, I always say, we always say, is to give us a call because you can explain in detail to Walter himself. Hello, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. We were just talking while we were getting ready for the show. You know, last week we spoke a lot about the sort of effort that people are making to buy Canadian, and Walter said that, you know, he, with Renofco, they're making a concerted effort to source their materials, to work with Canadian companies. And you said to me, you're filled with what?
It's pride. It's beautiful patriotism. I've never seen anything like it, I think, since the referendum years. And I was too young to appreciate it even then.
Mm.
It's really nice. People are really pulling through together. I mean, from our suppliers, we have a concerted effort with the suppliers and our consumers and everybody else. And it's just a beautiful thing that's happening. It's like if people woke up and everybody wants to buy Canadian. We have planned, we even had orders that we started or choices that were selected that we reached out to the clients to change things around.
Wow.
To make it more Canadian. And you should see how open they were. I mean, it was unbelievable. It's beautiful to see. It's like everybody is speaking with one voice. We put the Canadian flag up for the first time this week in our showroom,
Walter,
in our offices. And you know what? I think every business should do that.
Uh-huh.
Every business, let's make this flag fly again.
Mm-hmm.
Show our pride. We are amazing people. We produce beautiful products. We don't necessarily. There's a way out of this. I mean, we do have a 30-day reprieve, but. You know, what's going to happen? Even if we're going to come to an agreement at the end, we're going to get the short end of the stick. Let's be realistic.
And the table is, the game is set now. Like, we've realized now who we're dealing with. And so whether my thought is reprieve or no reprieve, we now have been threatened. And so that's where we're at. So that changes things.
That's true. And you know what? It's not about the sanctions. It's not about the tariffs. It's about the fact that our prime minister's office was insulted. He was called a governor.
Mm.
That's looking down at us, and that's not right. And now yesterday, the prime minister was saying this, you know, the fact that he wants to annex Canada is real.
Yeah, he said it's not, if you missed it, it was a hot mic moment. He said it's no joke. Listen, Canadian pride, lots of you, by the way, buying Canadian at the grocery store, in your construction projects, 514-790-0800. We already have some calls coming in. I think Stephen's been on the line longest. Stephen has a problem with his bathtub, I think. Stephen, can you hear us?
Absolutely.
Take it away.
Love your show.
Thank you, Walter.
I have a small problem for you. We're the original owners of the house. It's 42 years old. And I noticed a couple of weeks ago that the tub spout was starting to deteriorate. So I figured, I would just change that out. It's easy enough to screw off. But now I have bought 5 different tub spouts. 4 of them were so-called universal.
Mm-hmm.
But the adapter from the 1/2 inch to the 3/4 simply doesn't fit onto the pipe. And I can tell just by looking at it, the threads are wrong. The thread's much larger on the supposedly universe adapter than on my pipe. One I bought actually fits on, but when I, and it wasn't a universal, it was a 1/2 inch. But when I put it on, it doesn't connect properly to the wall. When it connects to the wall, it's upside down. I'm just wondering if you have any suggestions for me. The original hardware was Waltec.
Okay. So where did you go to get your spouts?
Oh, I went to all the big box stores.
Like what?
Should I name them?
Yeah, sure.
I went to Renault. I went to Home Depot. I went to Patrick Morin. I went to Pont Maison. And I bought one on Amazon.
Okay. So... I'm going to give you a couple of Canadian suppliers.
Yay!
You can go to Nelco.
Okay.
Or you could go to Duchesne.
Okay.
So these, they cater more to plumbers.
Okay.
They have a lot more variety and you have a better chance. If you can't find it at these two places, chances are you're not going to find it.
Okay, and they have places in Montreal?
Of course.
Nelco and Duchesne.
Yeah, Nelco and Duchesne. They both cater to plumbers, so that's where they buy, you know, plumbers buy their pipes. That's where we buy our plumbing products as well, as even rough and pipes and what have you. But yeah, they have good. They should. Nelco, I think, have even good technical staff that could probably, if you bring it with you, they could help you with it as well.
Super. Small problem. I think it sounds like it's solved.
No problem.
All right, Stephen, thank you so much for your call. 514-790-0800. You can text Walter. But again, the best way to get your answers to your questions, you can call us and he will take your questions. We've got John on the line. John has a problem with a backflow valve. John, can you hear us?
Good morning, folks. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. Actually, it's a one-way valve. Sorry about that.
Okay, take it away.
So yeah, so last summer we were on vacation and neighbors watching the house, and when we had those crazy storms, I guess it was a couple of days of crazy storms, water did seep through into one portion of the basement. Now, in that area, we've got like a little window that water could have came through. We also have a drain that's there, which is kind of close to the furnace, and we're thinking of perhaps installing a one-way valve and just trying to see if that's logical, is it worth the money, all that stuff?
So the quick answer is absolutely, and for many reasons. Number one, insurance companies now are, it's a big thing, and I think even at one point it's going to become obligatory that you have a backwater valve. So you know, the idea behind it is very simple. It will allow the water coming out from the house to get out, but it have a flap. It will forbid any water coming back in from the city. Now, usually you want to install one on the main, one on the branches, for it to work adequately. Because if you are using the water during a storm, you don't want it to back up just because the flap is open and the pressure from the city is always going to be stronger. So you might end up needing to install more than one backwater valve. That's a good discussion to have with the plumber. They look at your plumbing installations in your basement and they will kind of tell you, okay, this is the basic is to go on the main, and then, you know, then they look at the branches and they tell you on this drain you have to install, or if you have any other plumbing fixtures, you know. So on an average, it might be anywhere between 1, 2, 3, or 4 even backwater valves in the basement.
I think you mentioned something about where the washer is connected as well. I guess that could be one perhaps.
Yeah, that's what we call the branches. So that's exactly it. That's awesome. Exactly it. But I mean, it does work. It is a must. I mean, in the new building code, all homes have to have it, and this has been in effect for a long, long time. The truth of the matter is, the city infrastructure is old. It's deteriorating. We have a global warming, so these storms are not gonna be. These are not freak storms. They're gonna be something that's gonna be recurring. We see it every year, anyways. We have a couple of freak storms, and it's becoming the norm. So we just wait for them, honestly.
Understood.
So I would definitely encourage you to do it, John.
Okay. Thank you, folks. Have a great one. Great show, Evharisto. Thank you.
Oh, Evharisto to you too. Thank you so much. Look at that. You can pronounce that as well, Evharisto. You have enough Greek friends that you can say.
Well, I do. I know other words, but I'm not going to see them.
No, no. Please do not be the person, hey, Joanne, I can speak Greek, and then my ears are bleeding. We don't want any of that. 514-790-0800. Call us. We're getting some text messages in. A quick text message here that says, hold on a second, let me get this. It says, when I boil water from the tap in the kitchen, I get a fishy smell. It comes for a period of time and then stops. Should I call a plumber for this? What do you think is causing this? Is this from Maureen in Montreal? So when she boils water from the tap, she gets a fishy smell from the water.
Boils water from the tap, she gets a fishy smell. So, I mean, one of the things you want to look at would be, you start with the hot water tank just to make sure that, you know, the age of it. If you might need to flush your hot water tank. The other issue might be also if you are, she doesn't say if she have an artesian well or not.
No, this is why we always say, guys, it's better to call, right?
Yeah. So typically one of the main main issues with smelly hot water comes from the hot water tank in places where there's a lot of clinker in the water, calcare. And the quick solution to that is to replace a sacrificial rod.
I don't know what a sacrificial rod is, but it sounds very dramatic.
I know. I love saying that word.
Okay. By the way, because we have to take a teeny tiny break, Maureen, if you want to call in as well, because maybe you can give some more details to that. So we're just going to take a teeny tiny break. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show. We have fun. We have lots of fun here at The Home Improvement Show. We love talking to you. We love hearing from you. 514-790-0800. Best way to reach us is, of course, by call. You can also text. And we do want to mention again that on Walter's website, on the Renovco website, if you don't get your question right because you're in a different city or time zone, not a time zone, in a different city, really, to be honest, and you're hearing the show a little later on during the day, you can, Walter, what is the button called? It's Ask...
Ask Walter.
Very simple.
Very simple.
We didn't try to complicate things.
No, and I added the Canadian flag to it.
There you go. Walter, by the way, walked in here feeling absolutely patriotic, and I love it because it's contagious. We're loving all of that. John has been waiting on the line. John has wires, a problem with his electrical box, I think. John, can you hear us?
Yes. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
You were asking earlier today what you're happy about. Well, I'm happy that I was born north of the 49th parallel.
Oh, John. I just catch Walter. I asked our listeners on weekends with Joanne Backus. I said, listen, the news is heavy. It's, you know, it's not necessarily the best of times. I said, text in what makes you the happiest. What's keeping you afloat? Yeah. And John's happy to be on this side of the border, I guess, John, right?
Yeah. And if Trump wants to mess with us, we can really mess with him because... I've been in transportation for 30 years. Mm. Montreal is the biggest inland port in North America.
Very interesting, John. Yeah, that's great perspective.
We serve the Midwest of the U.S. by rail.
Yeah, and another, I should say, John is saying that, and another texter initially said, texted in to say, turn, just mess with the lights during the Super Bowl.
Shut them down.
All of a sudden the power goes down. Speaking of power, though, John, you did call in because there's an issue with your electrical box, I think.
Well, it's not my electrical box yet. It's okay. A house that I'm interested in purchasing. And I'm not an electrician, but, you know, I've dabbled in stuff. This guy is a welder by trade. And he decided to jump wires together inside the box to create 550 volts or 550 amps to run his welder. And as far as I know, you're not supposed to be meridding stuff together inside the box.
I would not even begin to want to think what the heck he did or how
he
did it.
Well, he took 220 twice and spliced it together and added 110 onto it.
Okay, but I mean, you're going to have that power coming from hydro. You can't just increase your own power.
I don't know. He's got a bunch of stuff meredded in the box.
I mean, I don't think one is related to the other, because if you're going to need to have more amperage, you absolutely have to work this with Hydro-Québec. You can't just, from inside the home concoct to get more power.
He told me it was to run his welder. I might have misunderstood what he was telling me, but as far as I know, you're not supposed to join anything together inside of a box.
No, that's correct. I mean, in any which case, if you are buying that house, the first thing I would do is
it's going to be my offer to purchase that he must have that corrected.
That's correct. And my advice is when you do the inspection, maybe have a master electrician come and check it out. Because the inspector is not going to be able, he might give you a general guideline, but he's not going to be going into the nitty-gritty of everything. I mean, this guy played with a panel for one thing. What else did he do in there? So
Because when I took the screws off the panel and I opened it up to take a look inside, the inside of the panel is black where it arced.
Okay, well, that's not a good sign right there.
That's not a good sign. And as far as I know, if this is done like the way he's got it done, if the house burns down, I'm not covered.
Okay, so it's a bit of a gray zone. Now, yeah. You're right, if the person that caused the fire was not an electrician and he did it and he caused the fire, it becomes very complicated.
Right.
Now that you know about it, will make it even more complicated. And I'll tell you one thing, you just said it on the air, so the whole city knows about it. So
oh,
it's really complicated now. So yeah. I would definitely be very careful with that, for sure.
Yeah, but to cover myself, I should put it in my offer to purchase, right?
Well, in your offer to purchase, in any which case, you're going to put subject to inspection. And that doesn't just cover you for electricity. That covers you for a multitude of...
Because I also noticed that the flashing, the tar and gravel roof,
mm-hmm.
and the flashing up against the chimney where it butts up to the roof, is peeling away from the brick.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why you keep it general. You don't want to kind of box yourself in just electricity. You say subject to inspection,
yeah.
Subject to inspection conditions being met. And then you're going to look at his seller's declaration. He
exactly.
have to declare everything else and see what he declared. And then we'll take it from there. The building inspector will give you a general perspective of you know, a wide variety of things, but he will probably mention that, you know, get a furnace guy to check your furnace, a roofer to check your roof, and they become a bit more, you know, specific when it comes to these things. But in your case, I would definitely have a master electrician present at the same time.
John, thank you so much. I hope that helps you out. And just a general rule, probably don't mess with the electricity. Leave that to the electricians.
I've done home renovations, and the only thing I refuse to touch is electricity because, to be honest with you, it scares me.
I think it should.
I mean, it should because, you know, there's a reason why electricians go for years to school before they become electricians. You can't just overnight become a do-it-yourselfer and start playing with the panel, especially, I mean, you know, you have a welder that just concocted something, and I don't know what the heck he did, but it's not, you know, when you see arcing in a panel, it should be very worrisome.
John, I would treat this like you're in a robbery. You hands up and you walk away facing it. Just don't touch. Just don't go anywhere near it. And again, because that was a good question though, because now that he knows and now that he's sort of made it public, he can't claim that this happened and I didn't know. So should something occur with the insurance company?
I mean, it becomes more complicated for sure. When God forbid a fire occurs. Every insurance company usually would hire a forensic engineer to see the cause of the fire. And that's the first thing they would do. Besides, they will even look at the fire department's report because there is an initial report that comes from there. So, I mean, in a way, that could be an out for them in certain cases, not to pull out the coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a reason why they want you to have a master plumber, master electrician. It's because they don't want, you know, people, you know, exploding pipes or causing fires because, you know, they decided to meddle in something that they don't know. It's one thing to paint your house. It's one thing to sand your floors. You're not going to hurt anyone.
No, but any of these sort of master crafts should be left to the people
Absolutely.
Who studied for
100%.
Them. 100%. Years and years ago, I had the very bad misfortune of working in a building where somebody who was working in the building who was not an electrician decided to tinker and passed away. Like that, you know, this is, electricity does not forgive.
No.
Like that's something that... really keep in mind there. 514-790-0800. We're taking calls. We're going to be taking text messages as well. But the best way, again, the best, absolutely best way is to call. We just got a text message about the last caller. It says, please tell the person who called in that if there's blackening in the box, imagine what overloading started burning wires in the walls, which cannot be seen. So basically, what does that mean, Walter? That if there's blackening, that probably signals something in the wall?
Well, that's overheating, and that's how electric fire starts. Now, the scary thing, not to scare the guy, John, poor thing, but I mean, usually electric fires are silent, and that's what I don't like about them. It's like you don't see them happening. Mm. And when they start, usually like, you know, it's...
disastrous?
It's disastrous. It's inside the wall, so you really, you know...
All right. We're going to be taking calls. We're going to be taking messages. We're taking a teeny tiny break. Still having so much fun on the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey, president of Renovco. 5147 I know 0800. We're taking your calls. We're taking your texts. Also, if you don't have a chance to call in or text in, head on over to the Renovco website. There is an Ask Walter button, which Walter and his team, of course, check throughout the week. Judy has been waiting very patiently on the line, and Judy has a loud humming noise. Judy, can you hear us?
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking the call.
Take it away.
Yeah, Walter. I spoke to Walter a few years ago. He was very helpful with the problem that I was having. The problem that I have now is I live in a condo, and it's not a big building. There's only 8 condos in the building. But we had some new people that moved in about 3 months ago, and shortly after that, I have a humming noise in my condo. Now, some days, there's no noise at all. It's quiet. And there's other days the humming starts in the morning, and in the evening it gets loud. And it's in the living room, it's in the bedrooms, it's everywhere. And the people upstairs will not allow nobody to come in to check their condo. And I called Hydro-Québec, and they said it's not their problem. I called another electrical company that had come a couple of years ago to do some work for me. But the thing is, it would cost me about $300 to have an electrical company come in here and check it for me. Now, I feel this, like my place is perfect, except for these new people moving in. So I don't know what's going on upstairs. I don't know. They won't allow anybody in there. So what do you think, Walter?
So, I mean, I can tell you generally what humming noises are associated with, or, you know, what other times we've witnessed problems like this and what we found. Believe it or not, in certain cases, it was malfunctioning kitchen appliances, like a refrigerator. We've seen cases where it's a malfunctioning air conditioning, or even issues with electric wires, some loose connection somewhere. So these go ahead.
Sorry, Walter, but why is it there's some days that I don't hear the noise whatsoever?
So if it is, let's say, a malfunctioning appliance, like a refrigerator, it's when you kick in, you hear it. Sometimes at night you do hear it more because things are quieter around. You don't have as much white noise. So, I mean, it's really hard to tell because of the fact that it's usually associated with mechanical issues, electrical mechanical issues. It could be at your neighbor's home. So it could be that they came in with a faulty refrigerator
room. Or something's going on. Now, the thing is, Walter,
Or in certain cases, they could be mining for cryptocurrency as well.
Yep.
Right?
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So that also makes a humming noise.
Yep, exactly. And the thing is, you know, because if I call somebody in, like they told me, that if they can't go up into the other place and check things out, there's no sense of me spending that type of money. What for?
How do you know it's coming from their place?
Because it only happened. It only happened when they moved in about 3 months ago.
And that After also that, could I had be no a problem at all. I mean, what you want to try to do is try to zero in on the noise.
Yeah.
Especially at night when things are quiet.
Yep.
You know, maybe you're looking too much into it that they moved in, the humming noise started.
I don't know.
Maybe you're right, but it could also come from your apartment as well. Try to have a friendly conversation at first, and if it really gets out of hand, there are legal channels you can.
Yeah, I know, but those legal channels are very expensive.
You can always take them to small claims. You don't necessarily have to hire lawyers for that.
Do you know, Walter, of any? Would you know of any electrician or something that would come here without charging an enormous fee for it? Because I know that I dealt this other company that's very, very good. They had done some work for me like 2 years ago. Very, very nice people, and you know them well. But $300, I mean, do you know of any place else that would not charge an amount like that? That would be a little bit more just to come in and check around and not get involved in a big fee like that?
To be honest with you, the quick answer would be no. They have a standard fee of 1 hour traveling, 1 hour service.
Yeah, I understand that.
Mm-hmm. So that will bring you up there like very quickly. you know, you could always call around and see with the electricians and try to negotiate something with them.
I mean, we're getting a lot of the text messages here about this. Gary is saying maybe someone's running an aquarium filter. Drew is saying could be hydroponics. And another listener says, what about the condo association? Is there a condo association
yes,
that you can reach
is,
out
but,
to?
Yeah, but they don't want to get involved. They're kind of concerned over this noise. I've spoken to my neighbors that live next door to me. And I had them come in here, and they were a witness to that noise. They were a witness to how it got louder in the evening. And something that Walter said is, I think he's right on with something they said. So I don't know where to go, really.
So what you're going to do is very simple. You're going to start sending letters in writing. You're going to cite some safety concerns, some noise concerns. You have to throw everything at this in order to get someone to move, at least to cover up their liability issue. Now that you have a condo, there are ways to get your condo involved, especially if you cite safety concerns, security concerns, you know, and noise concerns as well. And again,
yeah.
You don't need to pay lawyers. You could send a mise en demeure yourself, letter of demand.
Yeah.
You can go to small claims if it comes to that, and that doesn't cost you much to begin with.
Okay.
Yeah, Judy.
Because
go ahead.
But what's happening is it's like disturbing to your ears. You know what I mean? You get
it
some noise, and then in the evening it gets louder.
It's called noise pollution. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Judy.
Okay, Walter.
You
thank
keep
you.
Us keep us posted with what
I
happens.
Will, sure.
Lots of textures, but about this. Michael texted saying maybe it's a humidifier. 100% sure. I think the fact that they're not letting anyone in to come in and look is a bit.
I think it's crypto or hydroponic.
It's suspicious. Yeah. Okay, let's get to another call. We have Bobby. Bobby's been on the line, and he's something with a basement. Bobby, can you hear us?
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I'm calling because in my basement yesterday, it's carpeted, the floor in the basement, and we started sensing that the floor is moving upwards, like humping in different spots. So we ripped out the carpet. Underneath the carpet was a tile. So we ripped out the tile, and we see the cement floor, and it's raising in certain areas by it could be by an inch or so.
Mm-hmm.
In an area, let's say 4 to 5 feet, it's raising. So, and the top is sort of deteriorating as well, like.
Mm-hmm.
It's breaking up into little stones.
Okay. Bobby, are you sure you got it all? Like, I see someone, your wife is prompting you in the back.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
Yes.
All right. So what year construction is your home?
It's in the 50s.
50s, okay.
And then DG.
All right. So, I mean, look, there could be a multitude of things. One of them, I mean, could be the fact that you had some pyrite in the gravel when the house was built.
Sorry about that. Say that again.
Pyrite. Okay.
Oh, pyrite.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's a way to know that. You can call companies like Inspexol. They come and they do a carotage. So they do a sample test, and they can tell you very quickly, especially in the area where it's heaving.
Okay.
So that would be one. If you feel that it's really abnormal, the movement of the slab, now in 3 inches, and you know today there are 5 inches. We have a geotextile underneath. It's all done in a different fashion. So it could also just be the hydrostatic pressure pushing through because we don't have a thick enough slab without a geotextile. So that's kind of, you know, putting pressure on the slab itself. So it could
right.
be something as benign as that. Now, as far as fixing it, if even if it's pyrite, by the way, it doesn't mean that it's right away that you have to go through those drastic measures, because when you do the test, it will tell you how weak it is now. And in certain cases, if it already the off-gassing happened, then you don't need to do much. You could just, you know, break that area and then re-pour a slab and you're good to go. But that, again, going to be dependent on the results that you're going to get from the pyrite. One other thing you could do is you break this area and you fix it. And then if it heaves again, then, you know, you might want to start looking more into other underlying issues like pirate. One other solution I could give you as well is, do you have a sump pump now?
No, there's no sump pump.
Okay, so
unit.
That also might be a way to kind of, if you don't want to break the slab and redo it and so on and so forth, you might want to think about installing a sump pump so you can decrease that pressure from underneath the slab and, you know, avoid that hydrostatic pressure.
Bobby, thank you so much for your call. Hope that helped you out. We've got lots more show headed your way. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Walter Essie is the president of Vernovco, and he is taking all of your home improvement questions, needs, and something break. He is here to help you out, 514-790-0800. And again, a reminder, if you don't get a chance to get through on today's show, you can always head on over to the Vernovco website, and you can ask Walter, hit the button there, and leave your question, and we will answer it the following week, or he'll get to it with his team during the week. Vernon is on the line, and Vernon has been waiting very patiently. And Vernon has a question about an oil furnace. Vernon, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Hi.
I have a 32-year-old oil furnace coupled with a 17-year-old heat pump. And for the last couple of winters, including the current winter, it's one or the other has broken down. And I guess the direct question I have is, should I just switch to electric?
So, I mean, look, you don't have much choice, really, because if any major component on your oil furnace breaks down, you can't fix it anymore. So,
yeah,
you know, do it under your own conditions. Now you have a chance to shop around and do it quietly and without panic. The new heat pumps are fantastic. You can go down to minus 35 at, you know, low capacity, and, you know, you won't pay as much for consumption. So I'm sure even with the fact that you have a dual energy, it's still going to cost you cheaper. The new furnaces are a lot more efficient, and the new heat pumps even more.
Okay.
So there's no question about it. There's also subventions from the city, from Hydro, sorry, that you can get back. That is probably going to be eliminated soon. So, you know, the sooner you act, the better.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that, Walter. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, Vernon, have a great one. Adriana's on the line. Adriana has a question about her new water tank and a potential leak. Adriana, can you hear us?
Yes, thank you so much. Good morning. And thank you so much for taking our phone call. We love your show.
All right. Thank you for that. Take it away.
So we just bought this house a month and a half ago, and we got a new tank because the previous one was too old, and so for insurance purposes we bought it. Apparently the previous owners had no issues with their water tank, so we bought a new water tank by professionals, and it got installed. The day of the installation at night, the black bucket underneath was full with water, mm-hmm. So we had to pretty much empty it, and we called them. They came over 5 to 6 times, where they check it, change a few things, the valve, replace twice with a brand new water tank, and change the element and the thermostat in the last brand new one. So that didn't work. And so we changed companies, and again, we had a new water tank installed by professionals, which for the first week did not leak. And now we're seeing that the water is actually coming from the white tube that goes from the top, coming from above. And we put a bucket there, and I believe it's around a liter a day that we empty. So we're out of solutions because we ask experts to tell us what could be the solution, but they don't really know. And I was wondering, maybe Walter could help us. Thank
so
you.
So when you say the white tube, you mean the plumbing feed pipe?
Yeah, so if you can imagine the water tube, the water tank on the top, it has a valve, and then there's a white plastic tube that, it's kind of an emergency tube, I guess. And so it goes down, that should drain to the black bucket. And so I've bought a new water tank since forever. It was never an issue to have water underneath.
Okay, So your issue is not with the hot water tank. You have a pipe issue. And you've gotten plumbers to come there and they didn't replace that pipe?
So the tube that I'm telling you that keeps leaking is the water, is the white plastic tube that is coming out of the water tank.
Okay, and this water tank has been replaced multiple times.
Well, the last one was a week ago, and it's the emergency valve from the top of the water tank. Okay. It has the white tube attached to it. That is the tube that is leaking.
Have anybody verified the pressure?
Yes, so that changed, or I don't know. I don't know if that was checked. I'll let you talk.
Because that probably could be what's causing this to happen. This is not an issue, obviously, with the tank. It's not an issue with the plumbing. It's an issue with the water pressure itself. So I would actually get someone to look at that first.
Is that a plumber?
A plumber. That is correct. That is a plumber.
Is that the water pressure of the house?
First of all, exactly. You want to see if there's a lot of water pressure coming in this area, or, you know, that's definitely attributed to some adjustment of pressure somewhere. So the pressure valve, you know, there's something that is not right. This is not normal that you've swapped that many hot water tanks and you still have a leak.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not normal. I have a feeling it's a pressure issue. So once you regulate that, I don't think you're going to have issues anymore.
And that would be with a plumber. Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
So thank you for that, Adriana. Somebody just texted the overpressure valve is leaking. Is that what you think is happening?
Well, that's one thing I would check first.
Okay.
That's one thing I would check first. But it is definitely related to pressure. There's so much pressure going on that something keeps on busting and leaking like that.
I have to say, sorry?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we're running out of time, but there's so much reaction to this poor woman who lives in the condo with the buzzing sound. Everyone's saying to go to the condo association. But reminder, you did say that she has to put things in writing, right?
That's correct, yeah. You know, it's the consensus is these people have something to hide. So maybe, you know.
Listen, I called Walter a detective. I was like, Walter, get on this case and figure it out. And he's like, I don't know. They're not letting us in the house.
Yeah.
But
one of the things we promised in previous shows before, because I know we're getting close to the hour, is to kind of mention Canadian manufacturers in construction. So I'm going to bring
your
few everything. And you know, again, these are not people advertising or we're not sponsoring any of them. We're just, you know, putting the awareness out there. That's right. So, I mean, I can tell you from our end, we looked into Canadian paints. Betonel is Canadian. MF paint is Canadian. So plumbing, J. Alberi, Riobel, Aquabrass, these are Canadian brands.
And we're going to be doing that every week. Walter Assey, thank you so much.
And Home Hardware. Sorry, my client, Mr. Bishop, sent me a message last week that Home Hardware is Canadian as well, apparently.
Home Hardware all the way. Thank you so much, Walter, and thank you all for listening. That does it for us.